Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown are with us as they are every Tuesday for the last word on America. Now, of course, the big one we were going to be speaking about today is that New York City mayor's race. Well, there's not much of a race at this stage, but the news broke today that Dick Cheney, the former vice president, had died at the age of 84. Cal Thomas, you knew him very well.
Well, I didn't know him very well, but I did know him, and I treasure a picture of the two of us together in his office, and he had signed it to my favorite conservative commentator. I said, I'll bet you say that to all the conservative commentators. But he was certainly a controversial figure among some. He served in the House of Representatives as a congressman from the state of Wyoming, and then he served as Gerald Ford's chief of staff and secretary of defense, and then George W. Bush picked him as vice president. Many people... critics, anyway, said that he was really running the country, influencing Bush on the invasion of Iraq and the toppling of Saddam Hussein. But he was a strong anti-Islamic terrorist advocate, and he certainly had an incredible career. Now, one of the things that did not endear him to conservative Republicans is that in the last election, he and his daughter Liz, who was part of the January 6th committee, announced they were voting for Kamala Harris for president. So I think that kind of sealed his political fate among conservatives anyway, although he certainly had an illustrious career, and George W. Bush issued a very tender statement about him today.
Marion McKeown, Cal used the phrase there, controversial, which is doing a lot of lifting, as is the word illustrious doing an awful lot of lifting out there. I think an awful lot of people would have a different view of Dick Cheney.
Well, you know, I would certainly agree with Cal that he was probably, unquestionably, the most powerful vice president in America, much as J.D. Vance would like to claim that role for himself in American history. Nobody had such a grip on power as Dick Cheney, and he designed to be precisely that way. And the reason he did that from the beginning was he was appointed initially by George W. Bush to select a vice presidential running mate for him. Mm-hmm. And he went through all the candidates who were perfectly acceptable. He said, no, none of these will do. Tell you what, I'll do the job myself. And it was basically almost a silent coup. And to me, I remember so much about that era, covering the US invasion of Iraq and all that, and the things that he did that were so reprehensible. He, to my mind, he was one of the single most destructive figures in American history, and he planted the seeds in so many ways for what we have today with the Trump administration. So to me, it was interesting and kind of hypocritical that he was going, oh my God, Donald Trump's the most destructive thing ever. I couldn't vote for him. I'll vote for Kamala Harris, because so much of what he did really softened the ground for what Trump is doing today. Things like, you know, he was the one who pushed to allow the torture of suspects post 9/11. He was the one who absolutely pushed to go into Iraq, and it was because of Halliburton. That's not me that's saying that. Alan Greenspan said that. He said that, yes, it was all about oil. Of course it was. He introduced a whole culture of secrecy. He had all his buddies from Big Energy coming up to the White House when he was vice president. He enriched all of his group at the expense of the country at large. We saw the disaster that happened in 2008 with the fiscal implosion. We saw the absolute lack of care when Hurricane Katrina happened. Another little gem he has in his CV was he voted against a resolution to release Nelson Mandela from prison. You know, so this is not a nice guy. This is not a guy who I think did anything good or positive for America. I do think that his daughter, Liz Cheney, has shown some courage, but there was a calculation in that. When she spoke out against Trump, as she should have after January 6th, and joined the committee, which was very courageous. There was a calculation there, and I know this from having spoken to a lot of her father's friends around the time, that she basically Trump would burn out and he'd go down in flames, and that the people who stood against him would be in the running for the presidency in 28 and 32. We saw how that worked out.
And Cal, the utter destruction and devastation in Iraq, the lives lost, the American soldiers lost, and all of the uncertainty and the chaos it caused in the rest of the Middle East, all of that could actually be laid on the door of Dick Cheney.
Well, there's always been chaos in the Middle East, even before Israel was reestablished in its ancient land in 1948. But I think that Cheney was agreeable, along with Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of the UK, and Colin Powell, who is still highly regarded by many Americans, Republicans and Democrats, all signed off on the belief that Saddam Hussein had or was developing nuclear weapons. None were found. And so when none were found, the theory was, well, Saddam must have shipped them out to Syria. But none were found in Syria either. So it was a huge mistake. And I don't think Iraq is better off because Saddam is not there. Yes, he was a tyrant, but we have tyrants all over the world. We don't necessarily bring them all down. With respect to the Middle East, Saddam at least kept the lid on from some of the stuff we saw subsequently in the rise of Hamas and others. He was opposed to a lot of those terrorist groups. I'm not defending his character. He was a horrible dictator. But sometimes the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
Let's move on from Dick Cheney, because there will be many words written about him in the coming days. Marion, New York City, its mayoral race over the last few months has all centered around Zoran Mamdani. This is home and hose, clear cut. He is now the Democratic Socialist Mayor of New York, Shirley.
Well, you know, the hysteria over this is kind of bewildering to me. Zoran Mamdani is way ahead because he is, frankly, the most articulate, charismatic, likable candidate that the Democrats have produced since probably Barack Obama. And he has appealed and resonated with the people of New York, particularly young people in New York who can't afford to live there anymore, who can't afford groceries, who can't afford anything. And this is, I'm talking in particular, people who make less than $150,000 a year, for whom New York has just been priced out of their range. So he has a couple of very simple ideas. Now, they're probably not doable. I'm not saying that what he's suggesting, he wants free buses, he wants free childcare, and he wants a couple of other things. He wants to set up a pilot program, which I think is a good idea, to see how groceries could be delivered more cheaply in wastelands like the Bronx, where a Whole Foods won't go in there, or Trader Joe's or anyone else, to try and ensure that these people can access reasonably priced groceries cheaply. I don't see what's so radical about that. He wants to tax people.
I think I could point out a few things. Even never mind Cal point them out.
but you know what? He wants to raise taxes by 2% on people who make $1 million a year. That's $20,000. Okay, big deal. And you know what? It's not going to happen anyway, because he doesn't get to say where the taxes are raised. That happens up in Albany. I think that it's really riveting to see a young, passionate, you know, upbeat person who has good ideas, who isn't preaching hate and fear and suspicion. I think it's great, and I think that he will romp home, and I think that he should romp home.
Cal, isn't he going to be a great gift for Donald Trump and the Republican Party?
Well, it depends. The polls have shown that nearly a million New York City residents are going to leave Manhattan and the other boroughs if Mamdani wins. And the same poll shows nearly 2.5 million.
Well, I'll move down to you in Florida.
I notice you don't interrupt Marion, so may I please complete my thought?
Of course, Cal, of course.
Thank you. Nearly 2.5 million say they are thinking about leaving. Now, this is going to erode the tax base substantially. And Marion is right. He can't raise taxes on what he's called rich white people. He is an anti-Semite. His statements against the Jewish people and Israel have been made for years. He wanted to defund the police for a long time. Now he claims he doesn't want to do that. He is very dangerous. And as far as the socialist label goes, let's not forget what Vladimir Lenin said. The goal of socialism socialism is communism. And I think Trump is right to label him as a communist. Whether this will benefit to Donald Trump or the Republicans remains to be seen.
I think we can categorically say he's not an anti-Semite, but Marion, it does show that...
Look at his statements. Of course he is.
I've read plenty of profiles of him, and he has not said anything that smacks of anti-Semitism in those profiles. Marion, again, you know, he appeals to the Democratic base, that progressive, the AOC, the Bernie Sanders, that they want this person. And to a lot of a mainstream, probably even a lot of mainstream New Yorkers, maybe rich New Yorkers, this is not who they want.
Well, you know, I'm laughing about this poll, and that Cal, you're quoting. For starters, it's in the Daily Mail, so I think we need to look at context here. Secondly, it's done by James Johnson, who was Theresa May's advisor. Is anyone going to be taking advice from James Johnson? You know, I mean, you can pick any poll. You can get anyone to do a poll and come up with these figures. Let me guarantee you, and I know because I lived in New York for quite a long time, people will stay in New York if Mamdani is elected. If you think a million people are going to leave, you can think again, because there is no better city to live in, and they will stay there. And he may do some things that will improve the quality of life for ordinary New Yorkers, or he may flame out. But I guarantee you a million people are not leaving New York, because how will they sell their expensive multi-billion dollar houses? Property prices will plummet. It's just not going to happen. I agree with you, absolutely. There's nothing that I can see that he has said that could be in any way connotated as vaguely anti-Semitic. He has called out Netanyahu for the atrocities he has committed in Gaza. He has called it a genocide, which New Yorkers agree with, including a significant number of Jewish New Yorkers who have all said they're going to vote for him, including the Comptroller General of New York, who is also Jewish. So I think, look, you know, we'll see. New York, the Democratic Party, and I really despise the feeble-mindedness and feeble spines of Chuck Schumer, the Democratic Senate minority Senate leader, and also Hakeem Jeffries, who have just tiptoed around endorsing him. Look, Democrats should be a big tent. You know, Zohar Mamdani should not and would not be running in Oklahoma. He is what New Yorkers want, and he should run there, and they should endorse that and not be afraid of what Republicans think. It's pathetic.
Cal, there's a couple of big pieces of things that are going on right now in America. There's the government shutdown, and there's Trump tariffs. That's coming before the courts in the next couple of days. This is two really important things, and we're all focused on the mayor of New York.
Well, that's right. And I'm not a fan of tariffs. However, I do think if you're going to have an irresponsible and an unequal trade agreements with one country charging tariffs and import duties against the United States and us not doing anything reciprocally, then you have an unbalanced trade. And I think Trump is right to do some of this. Now, the Supreme Court arguments will be heard tomorrow, and we'll see. The real question is, if the court rules against these tariffs and against the administration, how are they going to get all the money back that's already been paid? And what will those countries that have been slapped with higher tariff charges, what will they do? So it's really going to be interesting to see what the arguments are tomorrow. I tend to think that it may be split, as some of these decisions are, between two avenues of tariffs. We'll have to see. I'm not an expert on the economy, but this is a very important decision, I think, economically and politically and constitutionally.
How much is the government shutdown, Marion, having an impact on real people?
Oh my God, let's start with the 42 million people, Americans, just ordinary Americans who depend on food stamps to help pay their grocery bills. These are Americans who may suffer from disabilities, who may be very elderly, who may make very little money and have, you know, three or four children to feed. Donald Trump decided while he was having his big, great Gatsby party down in Mar-a-Lago at the weekend that they could all do without food. I mean, if ever you've seen the optics from that are just disastrous at the moment. Americans are getting really fed up. This is going to be, from tomorrow, this will be the longest shutdown in American history, second only to the last Trump administration, which was the longest shutdown until this one, when he wanted, kicked and fussed and wanted money for his border wall and shut down the government for 35 days, and he still didn't get it at the time. I think that the polls are suggesting that a lot more Americans are blaming Republicans than Democrats, and are 61% disapprove of what Trump is doing. Now, I'm not going to quote one poll and say, you know, as fact and another one is not. So polls are movable feasts. It depends on the questions you ask. But certainly it seems that more Americans are blaming Trump for this than are blaming Democrats. There's no reason for this shutdown. What the Democrats want is to guarantee health care subsidies for 22 million Americans whose health care could triple, quadruple without them. So it's not like they're looking for something for themselves, to enrich themselves. This is something a lot of Americans can get behind, 22 million to be precise, at least. So I don't see how Trump can win this one. And I think it was a very foolish thing for the Republicans to go ahead and do. And I think it's for a change. The Democrats are showing a bit of spine and fighting back. And I think that this will probably work out reasonably well for them.
Cal, last word to you, because as I said, we'll all be focusing on New York City, but there's two other important races, and they are the governor of New Jersey and Virginia. If the Republicans don't take either of those, what does it say about Trump's popularity?
Well, Trump's popularity, well, he's already in the tank again, according to some polls, with as many as 61% of Americans not agreeing with his personality and even his policies, which I find to be rather amazing because the policies are working. But on these off-year elections, so-called, the party in the White House usually loses some elections. I think the liberal Democrat woman in Virginia is probably going to win. Pretty amazing, because the lieutenant governor, who is her opponent, is an African-American Marine veteran, and Obama, former President Obama, endorses the white women. Now, what does that say about race and the importance of advancing the African-American community? In New Jersey, it's much closer. New Jersey, a blue state, but it could go either way, but it looks like right now from the polling that the Democrat will win. What does this say about the off-year elections? Well, that's a long way away, and anything can happen, and it probably will.
Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you very much for joining us, as always.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.